Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. 12 men in Ephesus had been baptized, but not into Christ. They had to be baptized again. Their baptism, which a little bit was for the remission of sins, yet nonetheless had not saved them, had not put them into Christ, had not given them the Holy Spirit. These men are introduced to us, you notice in the text, they're introduced to us as disciples. The dialogue in verses 2 and 3 reveals the following. Paul knew that they could have received the Holy Spirit, probably in reference to miraculous gifts, when they believed. It was his understanding that they had received, would have received that when they believed, if they had believed as they should have and been baptized as they should have been. Because they were disciples, as they're described, and because they were believers, as they're described, Paul concludes that they must have been baptized. I want you to notice that. They were disciples, they were believers, and when they tell him that they had not received the Holy Spirit, he says, "Into what then were you baptized?" What does that say to us? He knew they must have been baptized into something if they were disciples and believers. It's interesting, isn't it? So they were disciples and believers who had been baptized, but they weren't saved. And they had to be baptized again. That's a little bit interesting, isn't it? Just because one is a disciple and a believer who has been baptized does not mean they've been saved. Shocking, isn't it? But clearly true from this text. Disciples, believers, been baptized, and they had to be baptized again. They were not in Christ because they had not been baptized into Christ. And so, start with this reality. According to Scripture, baptism saves. It's really not even an arguable question. I know a lot of people want to argue it. A lot of people even just flat out deny it. But the Bible says explicitly in more than one passage that baptism saves. You have Mark 16 and 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Can't get a whole lot plainer than that. He who does not believe will be condemned. You have 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, where our salvation in baptism is compared to Noah's salvation in the ark through water. In that salvation, Noah's salvation, Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives, 8 souls were saved. Then Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The translations may read slightly differently there. The New American Standard Bible says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Does baptism save or not? Baptism now saves you. I say that it does. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, the English Standard Version says. So clearly, baptism saves. Now, that's not to say it saves by itself. That's not to say it's the only part of the process of salvation. We're not saying that at all. But it is an integral part of the process of salvation. It is a part of the process of salvation. And one must, therefore, submit to it to be saved. Another important fact to consider is that baptism is immersion, sprinkling. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 38, we have a record of a baptism taking place. Philip is baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him in the water. In John 3 and verse 23, John was baptizing in Aenon near Salem because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. You know, if you could baptize people with sprinkling, everybody in Judea in this time with probably about 2 5-gallon buckets of water, you wouldn't have to have them come to where there was much water. John was baptizing in Aenon near Salem because there was much water there. So baptism is an immersion and not a sprinkling. Baptism is a burial. In fact, it prefigures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, I'll start reading down about in verse 3. Paul says, "Do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in this of life. So we're crucified with him, we die with him in baptism, we are buried with him in baptism, we are raised with him in baptism." Plainly, baptism. After a death and before a resurrection. Right? You bury somebody when they die. And when they're raised, as Christ has the power to do, they then have a new life. Paul talks about it again in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 when he says that we've been buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism, notice, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So Christ's burial, resurrection is symbolized in our baptism. A lot of people want to say, well, baptism is just a symbol. It is a symbol. It's not just a symbol. It is a symbol of a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Why is that? Because that's what's happening in the life of the Christian when he's baptized. He's dying to the world, as we sang this morning. Dead to the world. He's buried to raise again with Christ living within him. These are facts about baptism that are clear in Scripture, that are incontrovertible, although, as I said, lots of folks try to controvert them. But they're pretty plain, really, if you let the Scriptures speak. Holy Spirit baptism is something different. Holy Spirit baptism is different from baptism in water for the remission of sins. Holy Spirit baptism was administered by Christ. John prophesied that that would be the case. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So the Holy Spirit was a baptism that would be administered by Jesus. He would be the baptizer. All right? And what he would baptize one in or into would be the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1 and verse 32, John bore witness saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. And know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" The Holy Spirit baptism was administered by Christ. Christ promised it to his apostles. Let's look together in Acts chapter 1. Notice, starting in Acts 1 and verse 1. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to me also presented himself after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them," now he's talking about the apostles. That's why I read all that. "With them," that is the apostles, "he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the Holy Spirit baptism was promised to the apostles. It wasn't commanded to them. It was promised to them. See, water baptism, as we're going to see, is commanded. Holy Spirit baptism is promised. Men baptize men in water. John baptized people in water. Jesus is the one who baptizes people in the Holy Spirit. And he promised to baptize the apostles. And when you turn to Acts 2, that's what happened. They went in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit comes upon them with power. They're able to speak with miraculous tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. So the only two recorded instances of Holy Spirit baptism were evidenced by these miraculous abilities, by miracles. You see, and also now over in Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius and his household are commanded to be baptized with water after being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Peter was preaching to them, and while he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Wow. The Holy Spirit comes upon this household of Cornelius. Later on, Peter refers to that, explains it in Acts 11 now, and starting in verse 15. He tells the Jews that he's explaining this to. He says, as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit upon them, Cornelius, upon us at the beginning. Apostles, right? At the beginning, Acts 2. The other apostles and the Holy Spirit. Peter says, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that I should withstand God? Evidently, this Holy Spirit baptism thing wasn't something that happened every day, or to every Christian who became a Christian. For Peter had to go all the way back to the beginning. He said, they received what we received at the beginning of the gospel, back in Acts 2, some long time earlier, to find another instance of Holy Spirit baptism. It wasn't something that happened all the time. Holy Spirit baptism, as I've already mentioned, was not commanded for the remission of sins. Never was commanded for the remission of sins. It was promised, but it was never commanded for the remission of sins. In Acts 10, if we go back to that text, after the household of Cornelius receives Holy Spirit baptism, Peter asks, anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice that they're commanded to be baptized. Something there told those on the day of Pentecost, after he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, he tells them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He commands them to be baptized, obviously in water. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias tells Saul, now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Commanded baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I appreciate your good attention to all of these facts about baptism. A couple of different kinds of baptism we've studied about now. The purpose of water baptism we've studied about. Salvation. Let me ask you something. Into what were you baptized? You may say, well, I was baptized in water, preacher. That's not what I ask you. I didn't ask you in what you were baptized. I asked you into what were you baptized. That is the question that Paul asked those 12 men in Ephesus in Acts 19. He didn't ask them, in what were you baptized? He knew they'd been baptized. We already saw that. He assumed that they had. It was a given. But into what were you baptized? They said, in John's baptism. You realize, don't you, that John baptized for the remission of sins. Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. John came preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So here are people who were baptized for the remission of sins, but their baptism did not save them. How is that possible? Because they were not baptized into Christ and into the body of Christ. That's why. That's how. In fact, there are a lot of people today who are baptized for the remission of sins, quote unquote, into a denomination. That might include Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists or various evangelicals or other denominations. The phrase for the remission of sins is reinterpreted by these people to mean because of the remission of sins, because their sins are already forgiven, they think they're being baptized. And so when you're in one of these groups and they say we're baptizing for the remission of sins, they don't even mean it in the same way the Bible's using it. They redefine it. You say, really, preacher? Yeah, really. You just do a little research on the internet. You'll see that all over the place. Let me read you something I found last week from one of them. It says, to be baptized for the remission of sin is not to be baptized so one will be forgiven or have remission of sin, but because one has forgiveness of his sins. That's what they say. Going on in this text, this particular person says, looking at Mark 16:16, we see that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So we see Jesus saying that if you have no faith, you are condemned, but if you have true faith, you will be baptized. It's not the baptism that saves you, but that it gives evidence of the faith you have. Saying exactly the opposite of what the text says. Exactly the opposite of what the text actually says. John, as we've said, baptized for the remission of sins. John, you realize, prophesied and was a prophet under the Old Testament dispensation. He could not baptize anybody into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ because Christ hadn't died yet, hadn't been buried yet, hadn't risen from the dead yet. His baptism for the remission of sins was to forgive sins, but under the Old Testament dispensation. He was a prophet of God, the last one of the Old Testament, before Messiah. And so what he was telling people to do was, now God is wanting you to be baptized for the remission of sins, if you want forgiveness, under that Old Testament dispensation. Once Christ made the sacrifice, if you want a remission of sins, you couldn't do the stuff in the Old Testament anymore, right? You have to go through Christ. And so people today even find remission of sins or are baptized for the remission of sins in a way that the Scriptures know nothing about and that is not, therefore, scriptural. John was unable to baptize into Christ because the church of Christ, the body of the saved, had not yet been established. In fact, if you read through the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 14 and verse 10, John is beheaded. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus promises to build his church in the future. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul refers to the church which is his body. Those who had been baptized into John's baptism had to be baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus and into His body, even though they'd been baptized before for the remission of their sins. So the conclusion is that baptism for the remission of sins must include baptism into Christ and into His one body. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. We've already read that. Are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus? If you're saved, you were baptized into Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then especially 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now, if you weren't baptized into one body, my question is, what were you baptized into? That was Paul's question. See, those people were baptized into John's baptism. Somebody else might be baptized into something else, but not into the body of Christ. And if that's the case, like those people on the day that Paul met them in Acts 19, those 12 men, I'd encourage you to be baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, for the remission of your sins. There might be somebody here this morning that needs to do that. Maybe you say, well, preacher, I've been baptized. Well, most people in Acts 19 were baptized too. For the remission of sins. But not into Christ and not into His body. What about you? If you need to be baptized, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.